Acts chapter 29, that's where we are this morning. All right, you found it? What's wrong? You guys, you want to buy new Bibles? We have some new Bibles available. A special going on for the next 10 seconds. Five, four. Acts chapter 29, for those of you that didn't go and look for it, it doesn't exist. If you want to just look into a mirror, you will find Acts 29. Acts 29 is outplayed through your lives and my lives every single day. That's where Acts 29 is found. It's not in the Bible. But Acts 1 to 28 teaches us how to do Acts 29. Amen? And so, this morning, we need to finish our conversations that we've had, our journey through this amazing book. And it worldwide, and I have the privilege again of talking to pastors from across the world, every now and again, you hear people going through the book of Acts as a church. It's a regular exercise. Because it seems like in our Acts 29 days, we keep on forgetting how to live Acts 1 to 28. And this morning, I have this incredible privilege of just finishing our conversation that we've had around this amazing book. Now, I want to take you to the beginning of the book, if I may, Acts chapter 1. And share with you one thing that Jesus told us there that is never repeated throughout the book of Acts ever again. And actually should not be repeated in this particular way in which he addresses it. He says in Acts 1, now let me to read to you from the first verse because it's nice to have context. In the first book, O Theophilus, that's the person who Luke, the author of this book, writes to, he says, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do. The first book is the book of Luke to the author Luke. He says in verse 2, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them. Beautiful that, hey? After his sufferings, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Listen to verse 4. And while staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there's something here that Jesus says that he never again is mentioned. He doesn't mention it. Never again does it get mentioned in the book of Acts. Jesus said to wait. Never again do we hear that people needed to wait for the Spirit of God to arrive. Because we know that in Acts 2, he does arrive. And he does change the lives of the people forever to live completely differently than what they used to live like. The waiting moment was preparing them to walk differently. They were called to no longer wait, but to start walking. And so hence the title of this morning's preach is simply, Walking and Not Waiting. Walking and Not Waiting. And we find that Jesus had said to them, you got to wait until he comes, and when he has arrived, now you're going to start walking. It's no longer waiting. You're going to walk into what he has brought into your life and who he is. And so we find that there's sometimes a confusion going on amongst Christians that we still need to wait before we can really walk. But it says, when he arrives, you will be, and there'll be as a few things that the Bible talks about. I just want to say, first of all, that this arrival of the Spirit of God is one of the most significant things in the history of mankind. I'll give you five important events. You ready with that? One hand. Just put your one hand up, please. Just one hand is fine. That's good. See how many fingers? Five, all right? The first most important event in the history of mankind is creation. We all started somewhere. And God, obviously, we know the story. God created Adam and Eve. The second most important event in the history of mankind is when Jesus came to earth, and that's what we call incarnation. He came in the form of a man. He is God, and he came to be like you and me. That's the second most important thing in the history of mankind. By the way, if you look at these five things, it's not what the world tells you to be. I mean, the world will tell you the when the wheel was designed, that's an incredibly important event, perhaps in the history of world, of mankind, or the Industrial Revolution came, or whatever it may be, you know, whatever was invented, when the light bulb was invented, and Zessa came to be amongst us. Oh my goodness, that day. Can we think of that day? Anyway, so first creation, second incarnation. The third most important day in the history of mankind is when Jesus said, I will accept the punishment that's supposed to be on them. I'll accept it on myself. And that's what we see happen through his crucifixion. So crucifixion, third most important event in the history of man. The fourth most is how Jesus has died, is when Jesus was resurrected. And so we find that not only did he accept the sin of the world on him, and he died within that weight, but he was resurrected, which gives us hope that we don't have to succumb to the pressure of sin, but Jesus rose up. And that's what baptism so beautifully speaks about. So the fourth most important event is the resurrection. And then we have this moment that Jesus said, you've got to wait for. But we do not, with all due respect to all of us as believers, we don't see that event as that significant. Because if we did, our walking will look different. And Pentecost, when Holy Spirit came after the disciples, as we know the story now, in Acts chapter 1 and 2, they were waiting, as Jesus told them clearly. They needed to wait so that he would come, Holy Spirit would come. Just quickly, I mean, that moment must have been an amazing time. They were waiting for someone that they'd never really met before. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't really know the change that was going to come to their lives, albeit Jesus warned them in a sense and said, you will receive power, you will be my witnesses. They didn't really know what that was going to look like. And so they were just waiting, praying. It says ultimately there were about 120 people in this upper room area waiting. Just waiting. And then we know 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, we know that the story goes that Holy Spirit arrives on the scene in this moment of waiting. They were all together. It seemed like there was great unity. The guys just, let's just wait. Imagine after 6 days or 7 days, some of them were like, hey guys, is this all going to happen? No, just wait. Just wait. And then the event itself, such a beautiful, beautiful moment where Holy Spirit arrives, and it says there was a sound from heaven. You can read that in Acts chapter 2. The rushing wind filled the whole house. Not just a simple breeze. It's kind of like God wanted to make sure, hey, I've arrived. I've arrived. This is the fifth most important event in the history of man. And I don't think we celebrate that enough. Jesus had warned them and prepared them. Holy Spirit arrives and a sound, mighty rushing wind is heard. And then we find that tongues of fire appear on those that were present. And I don't know how that must have looked like. Maybe you've seen a drawing of it with these little tongues of fire on top of people. And like, hey, that looks weird. Maybe we kind of, again, we do not value and celebrate the event as much as it should be, because we have these weird ideas of that moment. I believe that when God's Spirit released them to speak into various tongues, it wasn't just so much to create attention. It was to create an awareness of the Spirit has come for everyone. Every different language is now being heard, or many different languages have been are being heard in that moment. Why is that? It's so that God can convince our hearts that the Spirit has come for every language on earth. And so it then says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment. And I believe that if we understand this message, or this moment rather, clearly, and we understand that waiting in that one moment had been turned into a walking lifestyle, we've got to look at what happened then in terms of their walking. If we can, in a sense, try to summarize the book of Acts. And if you look at every chapter, all the way through to the 28th one, you will find the evidence of what their waiting produced. Their waiting allowed them to welcome the Spirit of God. Then their walking started looking differently. For one, amazing boldness came on a person like Peter. You know the story of how he was timid and afraid, and he was embarrassed to be recognized as the follower of Jesus, of one of his disciples. Just about 50 days before this, 7 weeks ago, he's like, no, I'm not one of his. In this one moment, it changes his life. His waiting had resulted in a specific walk with Jesus. That no longer was he afraid or embarrassed to stand up and talk about his king. He spoke freely, boldly. So the question then should be asked, how's my walking today? If my waiting, their waiting, I don't have to go through what they have done. None of us need to wait anymore. How's my walking today? If one of the fruit is boldness. And if you carry on, I'll just give you a few examples of what the fruit of walking in this, of waiting in this for the Spirit looks like. And now walking. They started living in community. The Bible talks about that. They had fellowship with one another. They shared meals. They had unity and generosity amongst each other. That was an evidence of what their walking looked like. Now, if we keep ourselves from that, then we're actually saying, I'm waiting for something to still happen before I can get involved in that stuff. That's not for me yet. I'm going to wait a while. No, waiting is over, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start walking to the reality of what Acts 1 to 28 talks about. And if we're not, then somehow we're saying, well, I'm perhaps on the other side of chapter 2 still. The Spirit of God has not come yet. We know is not true. Well, somehow, I just try to exclude myself. Some of the other things that they experienced is healing. They started walking into seeing healing take place through their hands. Now, I'm sure there would have been incidents where people may have not been healed, but they were expectant of it. They were trusting the Lord. I mean, Peter and John, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It's a fruit of having received the Spirit. And now that's the evidence of walking. You and I can walk in that too. In healing, when people around you are sick, the first thing, may I challenge you. I'm not against going to the doctors. We do go and check up. By the way, I went to the doctor the other day. Upon certain people's insistence, I won't mention names. And the doctor said, "Chuck, you're looking good, eh?" I just want to say what the doctor said. Praise the Lord for doctors. And so I went and I said, like, God is good. Thank you, God, for that. But anyway, so we see signs and wonders take place through their hands. They're walking in the Spirit. Signs and wonders are happening. Come on. Are we like, I don't know if there's signs and wonders happening. What are you walking in expectancy of them? Are you trusting? Are you praying? Are you believing? Or are you waiting for something to happen before you'll start believing? Waiting is over. Acts 29. That's you and me. We further see what they find in their walking, Acts chapters and Acts. We see that there's correct scripture interpretation taking place. They're not missing the truth. They're walking in this beautiful reality as we seek God, and we dig deep into the scripture, the truth will be noticed, the truth will be seen, the truth will be applied. That's what they have. And you and I do not have to live in a world where we're like, oh, I don't know what it really means, and I don't know if we'll ever correctly interpret the scripture. It happened in the book of Acts as they walked with the Spirit of God. And so as we walk with one another, not just alone. And with all due respect to the individuals that you find on YouTube these days that are trying to show you how to walk, beware of that. Because I find that so many of these self-appointed prophets and teachers come out and they show you, try to teach us how wrong the Christians are. They being a Christian themselves. Oh, you must know that in this movement and this, you know, faith move or whatever, church, these guys are saying this. In 1 to 10, these are their mistakes. I'm like, I can believe that's walking in the Spirit. But just going on the internet and trying to prove others wrong. Let's deal with it here rather, okay? Let's walk together here. And if you have a problem and if some things that we teach you do not agree with, please come and talk to us. Let's discuss it. Because that's what I see they did in the book of Acts. They didn't go and expose people. They didn't obviously have the internet or social media. But they didn't go and talk to others about, they discussed it amongst each. And I can give you examples. What else did they see? Do we see as they walked in the Spirit? We see the thing of forgiveness. We see how the people in the book of Acts, as they were confronted with harsh treatment, persecution, and murder, they walked in forgiveness. So I'm like, God, what keeps me from still walking in my forgiveness that I need to exhibit and present to people? Am I still waiting on something to happen? Maybe waiting for them to say they're sorry before I forgive? No, I find, Lord, that as I look at the book of Acts, people started walking in these things out of their own initiative. Not because they were, you know, people came to them and apologized first of all. They just did what was right. Another thing that they experienced is that they accepted people who were different than them. Said, no, these guys are different, but we will accept them. And we will see them as potentially part of the body of Christ. Yeah, they're from a different people group, from a different faith, but we will accept them. And how is that possible for us too, as we today walk in the Spirit? By the way, it'll be so good for you to actually go and do an exercise like this and read through the book of Acts and see all of the actions that took place as people responded to the Spirit of God. Some of the other things that they experienced, they had authority over evil spirits. We see that. They weren't intimidated by what the enemy was doing. They took authority against the enemy and say, in Jesus' name, you don't come and, you know, take over here. This is God's territory. He rules, and he's in control. This is what their walking looked like. They had courage in hostile environments. We too face hostile moments and environments in our lives. That's when our walking in the Spirit needs to be applied. Don't go wait now. Oh, I'm waiting for this to happen or that to happen. No. Walk in what God has given us. It speaks of kingdom partnerships. It speaks of caring for one another throughout the book of Acts. It speaks of determination and suffering. You find that as they walked in the Spirit, this is what it looked like. It speaks of leadership in crisis and how they dealt with those critical moments and how leadership came in and guided them towards where they needed to go. Here in the latter part of the book, you find how Paul was in a crisis moment and how he brought leadership in. And you find that, particularly in the book of Acts 28, you see the story of how Paul remained faithful. Just giving this word through till the very end, he was faithful. Now, I don't know what your faithfulness area should be, but the principle is we find so many examples of how and what our walking should look like. If you look beyond the book of Acts and you start looking into the letters that Paul wrote, you start seeing more evidence of what the walking in the Spirit can and should look like. You read things that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 about how the Spirit of God, as we walk with Him, He brings us into greater intimacy with the Father. He says things like the following. Let me read it to you. He says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." The most intimate word that we can use with God the Father is done because of the Spirit of God living within us. That is what walking in the Spirit looks like. When we start relating to God the Father in an intimate way, that is what it looks like. When we know that He loves us and He cares about us. Paul also writes, he says, evidence of what it looks like when you walk in the Spirit is you become more like Jesus. Because you're saying, "Holy Spirit, teach me who you are and help me to see Jesus." And as you do, you're helping me to become more like Him. So that is what our walking looks like. So if I don't change, could I possibly then suggest that somehow our walking is not real? Maybe I'm still waiting on something to happen. But we've entered into a state of walking in the Spirit, where what I look at, the Spirit of God helping me, He assists me to conform to the Father, to Jesus, and my character is changed. So walking means that I start looking differently. I can wait and wait and wait for the rest of my life. Nothing happening. But as I start walking with God, as I start engaging Him in the way that the Bible talks to me about, then something in my life changes. And the people closest to me will start agreeing. Yeah, I can see this change come. How? Not just by physically getting older, but by your character becoming more like Christ. That's the process of transformation. We also see that walking in the Spirit means that there's certain fruit that start appearing in my life. As Paul again talks about in Galatians, that these fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, these things start appearing on me because of walking in the Spirit. And if I say, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to ever have peace in this situation. I'm going to wait for something to happen to perhaps bring me peace." No, waiting is over. He has come. Holy Spirit is here. Now walk with Him. Relate to Him. And as you relate to the God of peace, then the peace of God comes. Sometimes we go try to find the peace of God outside of the realm of the God of peace or walking with the Spirit. Remember, the fifth most important event is Holy Spirit is here to change the way you and I walk, to bring about a fruit that we can never bring about ourselves. And that's what the book of Acts is all about, to see how Paul could be. Remember the story that we read over the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, Acts 27, 28, where he was in a storm on the sea and somehow he had peace. He was okay. He gave leadership and guidance to the people in that moment. Why? He was walking in the Spirit. He was not just waiting. Okay, something's going to happen. He was just, something in me believes that God will take me to Rome where I ought to be. There's peace in me. I know there's a clear calling on my life, and I know where he's taking me. So in the midst of the storm is not inside you, because the God of peace lives inside you, and the peace of God is therefore so real to my life. I'm walking in the reality of that. How's your walk currently in regards to just the fruit of the Spirit? Never mind, you know, all the other things that are there for us to experience as a result of walking. So Acts 1, 28. We discussed it with you, not to give you information only, but we try to bring that, like what we will always do, from the pulpit and material that we spread around here, is that our hope and our longing is that whatever information we give will lead to our revelation of, wow, that's what happened. And then out of revelation, there could come inspiration. Man, I want to have the same. I'll be inspired to that. So that transformation of my soul could come, of who I am. And then out of transformation, we'll see a different application. Amen? Just simply, information can lead to revelation that leads to inspiration, that leads to transformation, and hopefully the correct biblical application in our lives. So whenever we discuss, we journey through material like this, that's the aim, is that information will lead to application through all of this, these simple steps. And it's not, hey, I'm not taking this from the Bible, I'm just saying this is what I find in the Bible that God does, and he wants us to read, to be different people, so that the fruit of our difference, of our character, will lead to a different application. That you'll just treat people differently, because you have been treated differently. You've seen it. Revelation. I want to do the same. I want to long for God to change my heart, so that whatever I do to people will be the same as what I read over there. That information I gathered there will lead to this application. And so this is what it means to walk in the Spirit. It's like the waiting is over. He doesn't have to come. You know what? Essentially, those five things have settled it. We know that ultimately, there's one more that'll come. It's when we have a new heaven and a new earth, and the process involved in that, Jesus returning. But until then, everything that God needed to do has been done. You know that. There's nothing that heaven needs to still do. It's been done. We're just going to walk in the fullness of that. And that's why our walking is so important. One of the beautiful things that we also have is, as I said earlier on, because the Spirit has come, when we walk in the Spirit, we have gifts that we can share with one another. Each one of you. Your walking should include your gifts that you have being made available for the benefit of others. So how's your walking? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, go read about the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just for public benefit, prophetic, and people are like, whoa, just let me back off a bit, I'm not a prophet. And you know what, it talks about the gift of helps, where you just help people, where you do administrational skills that you have that can help people, a gift of mercy where you can help people, a gift of serving where you can help people, a gift of encouragement where you can help people. You don't have to come to a meeting to only use a microphone to be helping people. So your walking is made possible because you have gifts operating in you and through you for the benefit of others. Acts 29. Outworking of 1 to 28 are the lives of the followers of Jesus, using the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to let the application of being filled with the Spirit be made real. So I say this lovingly and kindly to all of you, with a smile on my face, when I ask, how many of you are filled with the Spirit? And you can, you're a follower of Jesus. If you've been born again, you're filled with the Spirit. You know where this is going now, eh? So if you have been filled with the Spirit, you ought to be walking in the Spirit. Amen? Paul, by the way, says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What a great way to have victory over sin is by being Spirit-filled. By the way, he talks to us, old Paul, in Romans 8 verse 2, he says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death does not have authority over you anymore. Because God's Spirit has come to live within you, you have victory over sin and over death. We do not fear death. Death will come, yeah, but we do not fear it. Because God's Spirit lives within us and He gives us the evidence of eternal life. And so, where are you today as I close? We can't be waiting for the Spirit because the Spirit has come. We can only be waiting for someone who has already come or walking with the one who has come. Do you understand? But let me just say to you that sometimes waiting is still real for us as believers. We're waiting for the one who has come, and we have all sorts of reasons why we are not walking. And may I just give them to you? Just as I sat and I thought about these, and these came at some airport as I was sitting and preparing for this morning. I just felt that some of the reasons why we are still waiting on something to happen is that we have countless excuses for not being able to do what God wants us to do. That we've already been empowered to do, we just have so many excuses. I got my list, Lord. I think sometimes we are guided by our fleshly desires and not by the Spirit of God. Just allow the flesh to say, no, it's just keep quiet. You don't have anything to give. Oh, it's more comfortable not to go and do what the outworking. And by the way, one of the outworking, as we said, was forgiveness. Going to tell people or forgiving them. Your flesh may say, no, man, it's going to be embarrassing for you to do that. Don't go do that. Silly. Some of the reasons that we perhaps still are waiting and not walking is that we're just not interested in serving people. Because that's a character issue, hey? Just not interested in serving people. So I'm not walking in the fullness of what it means to be a follower of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is there. That I'm humble. I'm willing to. That's what it says we ought to have. But I choose not to. So I choose to still be in a waiting mode. Even being disconnected from people. I mean, I know that there's extrovert and introverts in this world, all right? But even in that reality, it doesn't ever justify not being connected to someone. The Bible is very clear that when we disconnect from people, when we're in isolation, it is very, very dangerous for your soul. And what matters most is the condition of your soul. We spend so much time on the other things, but the thing that is most important is our soul, and that's where our walking in the Spirit really becomes evident from. I mean, some excuses, we just can't say no to sin. It's like, you know, just keep on sinning. I mean, I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't know. It's just, sin is so strong. Again, we do not realize that we have victory. What it means to live with the Spirit. Fifth most important event. Fifth most important. Are you and I living in the reality of that? We've been created. The reality of Jesus coming, we're going to celebrate that soon. Christmas, Jesus was crucified. We celebrate that over Easter. And we're like, so thankful He took our sin upon Him. And so thankful that He was resurrected. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, well then, now start walking also in the reality of the fact that Holy Spirit has come. And He's our friend. And He's our helper. And our guide. And He wants to take us into all truth. Walk in that reality now. Because that changes our lives forever. Acts 1 to 28 prepares us for Acts 29. So you and I can walk into that. And no longer be under the dominion of sin and the yoke of slavery. That whatever you're struggling with today, you don't have to struggle with it. Because you have been set free. You summarize what God has done on these five events. Your life can never, ever, ever be the same. So don't wait for something that's not going to come. Walk in what has already taken place. And that walking is such a beautiful, beautiful experience. And so, friends, it's been an incredible journey for us to be as a church on this, the story of Acts. But again, it can just be information that we've gathered over, I don't know how many months it's been. It's been quite a long period of time. It can just be information that we've gathered. I pray that it has been great inspiration as you've seen, as the revelation has come of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, and that you've been inspired to let God's Spirit bring transformation in your own heart as you read these things and say, God, I'm not a bold person, but I trust that what I see in those people's lives will happen in mine too. That there will be a transformation in mine. And so, Lord, let the application take place as well. That I will become bold. Whatever it is, I just shared with you a few examples of what it looked like when their waiting became a walking. May our walking be similar? There's no reason why it shouldn't be. I challenge my Czech friends kindly. I hope so. Because I understand their culture a little bit. And I know that they are quite reserved. And in their culture, you don't easily approach people. You kind of keep a distance. And even in the streets, when we go for a walk or for a run, I find that it's very awkward for people to greet you. Yeah, people are just so spontaneous. They're not spontaneous. And that's not a criticism or judgment. That's just the reality. But I challenged them. I said, when we live in a certain culture, and these are the boundaries of our culture, how do we allow the culture of the kingdom to override this culture so that a new culture could be created that's called the kingdom culture? And in our culture, we've got to do the same. We can't live with excuses and say, God's Spirit needs to still do X, Y, Z before I, in my culture, do whatever He expects of me. No, when Holy Spirit has come, it changes our walking forever. I cannot live in the comfort, the comfortable excuses of my culture, my personality, my preferences. Because when, not if, but when the Spirit of God came, He changed the people. And so He changes us. So here we are, considering the narrative of our lives. We've read the narrative of Acts 1 to 28. You're busy letting the narrative of your life be written. So may your walking and my walking be similar to what we see the Spirit of God had done in those people and what we are instructed to be today ourselves. Is that okay? May our waiting be over. May we enter and continue to live in the stage of walking. Amen.